Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and this is the September 20th edition. As we're approaching the end of September, it's time to turn to National Public Lands Day, which is always celebrated on the fourth Saturday of the month. I'm delighted to have with me today representatives from four of our local organizations that celebrate public lands and support them through good stewardship and volunteer activities. And we'll get to those individuals and organizations in a moment. For the uninitiated listener, a little background on National Public Lands Day might be helpful. It's organized annually and led by the National Environmental Education Foundation in partnership with the National Park Service and our other federal land management agencies, here locally, often the Forest Service. It was established in 1994. It's held annually on the fourth Saturday of September. Traditionally, this day is the nation's largest single-day volunteer effort, celebrating the connection between people and green space in our communities. It inspires environmental stewardship and encourages the use of open space for education, recreation, and health benefits. Hundreds of thousands of volunteers roll up their sleeves to help restore and preserve public lands of all types and sizes, from iconic national parks and rivers to local urban green spaces and everything in between. National Public Lands Day is special because it provides all lovers of the environment, old and new, an opportunity to show our appreciation for these unique places. This year, National Public Lands Day falls on Saturday, September 24th. And once again, I'm delighted to bring to our listeners local representatives of organizations that are going to talk a little bit about what their organization does in general for public lands, and then specifically in honor of upcoming National Public Lands Day. In no particular order, we have with us Kelly Hughes, Communications Director for the Idaho Trails Association. Say hello, Kelly, so we get your voice.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Phil.
You bet. We have Jason Welker, Executive Director of the Pend'Oreille Peddlers. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, Phil, it's great to be back on the show.
Thank you. We have Joel Thompson, a newcomer, Program Manager from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
And Katie Eglin Cox, Executive Director of the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you, Phil. Nice to be here with everyone.
So we'll do the first round robin with a little bit more of a deeper dive into who each of you are, what drives your passion, what's your why for the work you do for public lands, and a little bit about the organization you work for and what they do. And why don't we just pick it up? I'm looking at a Zoom screen we're recording on, so I'm going left to right. Jason, why don't we start with you?
All right. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, so I'm Jason Welker, Executive Director of Pend'Oreille Peddlers. We are Sandpoint's local trails organization and cycling club since 2004. I joined the organization as a member sometime back in the late 2000s and became a board member in 2019 before starting as Executive Director in 2020. It's been a really exciting 3 years since I stepped up to the board and took on this role as ED. We've been really active in the development and advocacy for new trails on both public and private lands around Sandpoint. We've got a lot of really strong partnerships here in the community, notably with Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, Katie's organization, where we started building trails in Pine Street Woods about 3 years ago. We've since grown that trail network into an adjacent property on some private land, but the relationship that's really starting to bloom right now, and not to diminish what we have with KLT and will continue to have. But we've really been working closely with the city of Sandpoint to develop a trail plan for what some people don't even realize is public land, the 5,000 acres of city municipal-owned property in the Little Sand Creek watershed just outside of town. So that's the project I'll probably be talking most about today. Pend'Oreille Peddlers are hosting the International Mountain Biking Association next month, who's coming to town with support from POP and KLT and the Nordic Club and the City of Sandpoint to kick off work on a trail plan for our public lands in the city's drinking watershed. So that's a little background. We are a cycling club. We run youth programs in the community for kids to get kids on bikes. We have a scholarship and bike grant program for underserved youth in the community. We do several bike races throughout the year. We host weekly trail work parties for about 32 weeks a year. Yeah, so that's kind of a little background of what we're working on here in the community.
Thank you, Jason. And that's a good reminder that public lands come in many shapes and sizes. And although we are blessed here locally to have an abundance of public lands in traditional forms, such as the Forest Service, and in some that people don't think of, but with access to the public, places like the city's watershed. And we'll segue right into Katie here, the Pine Street Woods, because not to take her thunder away, I'm sure she's going to talk about that. So Katie, yeah. Here, a little background.
Yeah, Bill and Jason, thank you. And it is really interesting because a lot of people might look at Pine Street Woods and think it's potentially public land. It is private land, though. Private land that's owned by Kiniksu Land Trust, but with the mission of a community forest for all. So welcoming all, making it publicly accessible. So there's, you know, when we do this Public Lands Day, right? So I think it's really interesting when you stop people on the trail and ask them in any of the properties within the Syringa Trail system, which could be Pine Street Woods or Syringa Trail, or sorry, Sherwood Forest or VTT, who owns this land? It's all under private ownership. So that's very fascinating. And I think people in our community would find it interesting to know that, some that might not know. So Kiniksu Land Trust started in 2002, really focused on conservation as a conservation organization. We started as the Clark Fork Pend'Oreille Conservancy. And since 2002, our mission and our scope of our work has really grown, as well as our service area. So we work in Bonner County, Boundary County, and Sanders County, Montana. And our work really focuses on three core values. The first one being, of course, conservation, where we work with private landowners to put their land in voluntary conservation easement or agreements. So a landowner will come to us, private property owner, that feels that their land has conservation value, either for habitat, for farmland protection, for forest lands, and will put their land under protection with us at Kiniksu Land Trust. Part of that conservation work, though, is the project we already talked about, Pine Street Woods, which is a community forest for all. We also have another property over on, if you live in Sandpoint or in Montana, depends on which way you'll drive, but it's right on the Montana-Idaho border. It's called the Cabinet View Nature Area. And it's in its own right another amazing property that we get to be the landowners for and the stewards of. And but it's open again for everybody. And that property is beautiful habitat, a small trail system, a gazebo for picnics, and a beautiful pond, great birding, and a fun beaver dam to watch the beavers work. So if you need a Sunday, you know, a drive on the weekends, that's a great destination. As well, we work in connection. So we talk about connection in terms of education and connecting our children to this beautiful place and through nature education, both in school nature education. We have a wonderful partnership with the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, and we work with many of our elementary schools doing nature education throughout the school year. And then we do a summer camp, Camp Kiniksu. And for adults and teens, we have a ever-growing program called the Kiniksu Folk School, which is just an amazing program full of rich opportunities every season for adults to learn and use their hand and do handcraft skills based in nature, really. And then as well, we have then our last being community. We're very focused on the community. We're very focused on partnerships. Jason already talked about one of our most critical partnerships with Pend'Oreille Peddlers and the Sandpoint Nordic Club to help us maintain Pine Street Woods. Of course, we have amazing partnerships with our other conservation organizations, which are here with me today. And we also have other amazing partnerships in Montana. We have a new employee in Montana who's working to create those more community partners in Montana based on the recreation economy and growing the recreation economy in Sanders County. So we are sort of, as well, we have an amazing new community housing trust initiative that we're working on to help support workforce housing here in Bonner County. So that's Kiniksu Land Trust.
Thank you, Katie. Kelly, why don't we hear from you?
Yeah, my name is Kelly Hughes. I'm Idaho Trails Association's communications director, and I've been working for ITA for about 2.5 years. ITA started in 2010 So we've been around about 12 years. And our mission is to keep Idaho's hiking trails open for all. And we kind of have three main ways that we are doing that. We do that through caretaking of trails, education, and advocacy for trails. With our caretaking of trails, we do, this year we did about, or we have done, or we have planned about 67 trail projects across the state. So we work Idaho-wide. We're Idaho's only statewide trail organization. So we're trying to get in kind of every area of Idaho, trying to find those trails that need help being brought back from the brink of extinction, as well as maintaining trails that are overused. So the work that we do is kind of a mix all the way, like I said, from helping trails, bringing trails back, as well as helping trails that have been overworked and overpopulated, which is definitely a problem that we're seeing more and more and more in Idaho. So we use volunteers to work on trails. We have about 500 volunteers that come out every year to work on projects. And this year, we have completed about 17 projects in North Idaho in the Sandpoint area. So the second way that we work is through education, and we do that by putting on presentations and webinars and other things, just trying to educate the public about Leave No Trace and public lands and all kinds of topics related to better stewardship of our lands. And then the third thing that we, third major thing that we work on is advocacy of trails for hikers. And we do that through just opportunities that we send out to our members about ways to make their voices heard when those opportunities arise. So like I said, we work all over the state, and we are always looking for great ways to, like I said, find new trails that need help and find areas that are that could use our help and use our amazing volunteers. So I think that's IT in a nutshell.
Thank you, Kelly. Well, Joel, certainly not least, but last for the first round, take it away.
Yeah, so I'm with Friends of Scotsman Peak Wilderness. I'm the new program manager. I've been here about 3 weeks now. So still getting it all figured out. Scotsman's is based out of Sandpoint as well. And, you know, we kind of focus on one, you know, particular area in the area. So the Scotsman's Peak is a national forest land currently managed by the U.S. Forest Service, and it is on the Idaho-Montana border, very close, kind of across the lake from Sandpoint. And, you know, kind of look at our work has kind of broken down into four categories. So we have education. So our education is, it's teaching people about wild places, kind of the area that's in their backyard. It's also, we do a winter program where we get elementary kids from the local school areas and take them out on winter tracks. So we're teaching them about, you know, the wild animals in their area, about trees in the area. You know, get them out of the classroom into nature. So we're ramping up to do that here, just waiting for winter around the corner. We also do a fair amount of stewardship as well. So we have work parties that go on pretty regularly, almost every weekend throughout the summer. And so we're, you know, out there with manual tools. We're, you know, getting our sweat on. We're improving the trails. We're building new trails. And, you know, again, just keeping those trails, you know, open for the public to come out and enjoy. And the other big part of what we do is, you know, we're definitely a community-based organization. So we lead hikes, snowshoeing trips in the winter, again, out in the Scotsman's area. You know, it's, again, being new to the area, it's, and when I talk to people, it's still surprising that, you know, how many people are still not completely aware of where Scotsmans are exactly. And, you know, so I think it's our part of our project is to, you know, just get the word out and let people know what a beautiful area this is and, you know, ton of wildlife in the area, you know, so I think that's a big part of, you know, what we're trying to do. And then, you know, kind of lastly, there's a big part of it is an advocacy aspect of it. Like I mentioned, Scotsman's Peak right now is, it's kind of under the National Forest Management, managed by the U.S. Forest. And, you know, the goal is we would like to see that be redesignated as a wilderness area. And so that's, you know, from that advocacy piece, that's kind of one of our big pushes. And we're excited to, you know, have volunteers and the community involved in that.
So. Thank you, Joel. Well, that covers a sort of not real deep dive, but a semi-deep dive into the four organizations and individuals we have present with us today on the show. Let's take a look at what everyone's doing in regards to events or other ways to honor public lands here around our National Public Lands Day celebration. And so we'll just keep the same order up. Jason, why don't you tell us what the Ponderay Peddlers have coming up here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, the next couple of weeks are going to be really exciting for POP and for the whole trail using community in Sandpoint. We have been working on a new trail just 3 miles from downtown Sandpoint. We broke ground on it about 15 months ago. It's on city property just below the roundabout at Schweitzer and above the second switchback on Schweitzer Mountain Road. So locals who frequent that road know that there's 7 switchbacks, and we often refer to locations along that road based on which turn on the road you're at. So this trail starts just above the second switchback. This is a trail that was funded through a grant from the Idaho License Plate Fund. So there's mountain bike license plates in Idaho. You've probably seen some, you know, isn't there a goat license plate, Phil? Is that a Scotsman specific license plate, or is that just a wild places license plate?
Actually, there is a goat license plate. It's not specific to the Scotsmans, but the Sawtooth National Recreation Area.
Well, every time I see that, I think of the Scotchmans. So it's promoting the Scotchmans as well. Well, there's a mountain bike license plate. And for 3 years running, POP has successfully received at least half of the funds that license plate generates each year. So last year, we received $18,000. And we combined that with some support from the city of Sandpoint and a couple other local organizations, including Equinox Foundation. And quite a bit of POP membership money ended up going towards this trail as well. The trail is about 2.4 miles in length. It gains about 900 feet of elevation, and it's built at about a 6% average grade. So if you're familiar with trail grades, you'll know that a steep trail is going to be less enjoyable for hikers and bikers. This one's built to be enjoyable for both hikers and mountain bikers, uphill and downhill. It's what we would in the mountain bike world consider a green trail. So it's a beginner-friendly climbing trail, but it can be ridden in both directions. And we're really actually... what we're going to do once this trail opens in the next 2 weeks, we're going to designate this the primary hiking trail on city property as well. So for people who like to hike or trail run, this will be the recommended route if you want to take a hike or run from the second switchback up towards the roundabout in the Little Sand Creek watershed. So I do mention this because it is not traditionally what we think of as public lands, but like I mentioned earlier, our city's super unique in that the city itself owns over 5,000 acres of property. Sandpoint started acquiring property in our watershed over 100 years ago, in 1918, actually, through land swaps with the BLM and the Forest Service. Over half a century, the city accumulated all this property. And the primary reason for that was to protect our drinking water supply, because until 2004, all of the city's drinking water came from the Little Sand Creek. In 2004, we opened our lake water treatment plant. So now we only get about 20 or 30% of our water from the Sand Creek, for which reason the city has come around to the idea of opening up some of that property for recreation. So 2021 marked the first time a new trail had been built in that property for a long time, for several years. And we're just about to wrap that project up in the next week. We have about 40 yards of trail left to build of a 2.4-mile trail. We've been waiting for some precipitation, which I mentioned we got today. So I actually just came off the trail while I was there with our contractors doing some finishing work. By Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 24th, we're hoping to have at least an informal ribbon cutting ceremony on that trail and welcome the public to come hike and bike on the new Lower Basin Trail, as we're calling it. So that's what we're aiming for. We're hoping on Saturday on Public Lands Day, and this will all be promoted via our social media, our newsletter. But I can't announce it yet because it's not official, but we're hoping that by Saturday, we're going to have at least a small ribbon cutting ceremony and get some feet and some tires on that trail for the first time. And I do want to mention that this is just the first in what we expect to be a larger trail plan for the Little Sand Creek watershed. We do look forward to welcoming IMBA, the International Mountain Biking Association, here next month. They're going to be doing public outreach and getting involved in some city meetings. We're having an all-club meeting on October 12th, and we're going to work with IMBA to develop a trail plan that likely will include several miles of new trail on our public lands here in Sandpoint. So that's kind of what we're aiming for. We're hoping this Saturday, the 24th, we'll be doing a ribbon cutting. And if you do follow Pondria Peddlers on social media, you'll get a confirmation of that later this week.
Excellent. And for those listeners who might not yet be on POP's social media or a member, how can they find out more information about how to get engaged? What's the best?
Yeah, for sure. So we have quite several thousand followers on Facebook and a growing Instagram following of about 1,400 people now. And we are Pondere, as in the lake, the French spelling, not the city of Pondere. That's a common mistake. We are the Pondere Peddlers on both those social media channels. We also have a website that I keep updated with all of our happenings, and that's where you can become a member. So right on our homepage at PondereePeddlers.org, there's a link to join. We have several levels of membership, and by joining, you get a weekly newsletter from us. You get some really cool swag from our local bike shops. And then you're invited to participate in all of our trail work parties, our youth programs, our monthly club meetings, and our beginning and end of season parties, as well as all the races and events that we put on throughout the year. So I invite any listeners to follow us on social media or to head to our website and become a member.
Excellent. Katie, why don't we continue in the order and go with you next? What's coming up for KLT for Public Lands Day?
Yeah. So first, I just want to sort of take a moment to do a shout out, because I think all of us at Kinnexoo Land Trust, we know how incredibly important it is to support our trail organizations. And right here today, I'm on here with three different trail organizations, a trail organization that helps here in and around Sandpoint, one that helps statewide, and then one that's focused on the Scotchmans. And even if you don't get on a bike and ride a bike, you probably use your feet to go for a hike, go for a trail run. And it's through the efforts of these three organizations that it makes it possible. So the amount of effort that just personally working a lot with the Pondere Peddlers and all that they have done to open Pine Street Woods, open VTT, the work they do on Sherwood Forest, these trails would not be possible without all of those efforts of all of those many members that come out weekly and work on those trails. So we, as a conservation organization, of course, our main goal is really to connect people with the land. And there isn't a way we could connect people in such an intimate way if it were not for all of these wonderful trail organizations that are on here with us. So our most recent effort really is focused on, as many of our projects are, focused on conservation, but it's another amazing little gem of a project that many people here that live and have lived in Sandpoint for a long time would know about, and that's the historic Sled Hill. And we're working hard. We're in the midst of a campaign to save that Sled Hill and to protect it forever for the use for our community. Almost a year ago now, it was in private ownership and has been in private ownership, but those private property owners were gracious enough since the late 40s of opening that property to the public for first skiing and sledding. And many of us either have taken our children there or maybe we're children ourselves living here and have sledded on that hill. And so we are working on a $2.1 million campaign to save and protect that property. Again, it would be private property, but open to the public. So that's the joy, and it will open in perpetuity. So we will be having a lot of events coming up in the fall, focused on saving the Sled Hill. We're doing, we're encouraging people who have the ability to gather people in their neighborhoods to host gatherings, to host barbecues, to host a morning tea, and have us come and talk about the Sled Hill. And so we're doing these nights. It's really about a neighborhood campaign, because this is a community treasure, 48 acres. And it's not only going to be a ski hill and sled hill, but it will also incorporate trails that I know Jason and his crew will help us build. And it will also have hopefully a fishing pond on there for all the children to be able to learn how to fish. And then we'll host a lot of our education programs there as well. So there will also be an event in November that is focused on a sneak peek at the Sled Hill, and we're doing that in conjunction with Evans Brothers Coffee. So be on the lookout for that as well. There's lots of opportunity at Pine Street Woods to do work in order to help make your publicly accessible trails open. We're going to be doing a cleanup in and around the Outdoor Recreation Center in conjunction with the Sandpoint Nordic Club in order to get it ready for winter. So that will be happening in October. And then as part of our annual highway cleanup, we will be doing a highway cleanup on October. I wrote this down with a lot of other things. October 15th. I think I gave you the right date. October 15th at 2 o'clock, which is a Saturday. And so for Public Lands Day, we hope that you spend time out on your public lands, but we also would encourage you to spend time volunteering. And they're doing a invasive weed project down at Round Lake State Park from 2 to 4. And that's put on by the Idaho Parks and Recreation Department. So go for a run or a bike in the morning at Pine Street Woods, but then go out to Round Lake State Park and help pull those invasive weeds from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. That's how we encourage you to support Public Lands Day.
There's always so much to do, and we have a bounty of volunteers. So again, the same end question: if there's someone listening who's new to the area and wants to engage with Kinnickskill Land Trust, what's the best way for them to find out more information?
The best way to find out information is to visit our website, which is www.kinnicksu.org. And you'll see our events are right there listed, and yep, we'd encourage you to click on those. We also are active on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. So you can keep track of us there. And our door is always open as well. So please, if you have any questions about anything that we're doing, please come and stop in and have a chat with us.
Okay, thank you. Kelly, why don't you go next and tell us how ITA is celebrating the 24th of September.
Yeah, so we are definitely coming to the end of our trail work season, and September 24th is our last planned project for North Idaho. That's going to be at Boulder Meadows, which is north of Sandpoint. Starting at 8 o'clock is when volunteers will be meeting. And I heard that there will be some brushing work to do, some tread work, and I'm sure if there's any logs over the trail, there will also be some log out sawing. So this is part of the Idaho Centennial Trail. So it's just a really cool trail. And we're really hoping we can get some folks to come out and help this trail. So, and also if you are enticed by refreshments there, I heard there will be refreshments at the end for volunteers. So that always is something I look forward to at the end of a hard day of trail work is sharing a drink and some food with the fellow trail workers. So that's what we're doing for September 24th. We also have a party coming up to celebrate the end of the season on October 1st. And that's going to be at 2 o'clock. That's a Saturday. That's going to be at Tom Dabrowski's house, one of our board members. And he said there's going to be a barbecue and all kinds of fun stuff. So that should be a really good time if you can make it. Another thing that we're looking for to kind of cap off this season is feedback on potential trails that might need help in the future. So if anybody knows of any trails, if you've been hiking lately, hiking this summer, and you've been on a trail and you think, wow, this trail needs a lot of work, we'd love to hear your feedback on that. We're going to be taking that feedback, I think, over email. So if you know of any trails, want to nominate any trails for work, this will be for next year, next season. You can email us at trails@idahotrailsassociation.org. Looking forward to hearing back from everybody on that. For our project, if you're interested in coming out on September 24th, you can sign up online. Our website is www.idahotrailsassociation.org. And there's a little button that says project schedule. You can go there and then find the project there. And in the spring, we'll be posting our full schedule. So that's really when is a great time to sign up if you're interested in coming out to do trail maintenance. We don't require depending on the project, most of our one-day projects, we don't really require any previous trail knowledge or previous trail maintenance experience. As long as you can hike and feel like you can do the hike, we can certainly use you and use your help on working on these trails. So we do one-day projects all the way up to week-long projects. The week-long projects are certainly more taxing and more require at least able to carry a backpack in most cases. So I think that's everything we have coming up.
Excellent. And for more information on either upcoming projects or things on into the future, how can people best engage with ITA?
Yeah, we're very active on Facebook, Instagram, and then our website also, IdahoTrailsAssociation.org. We keep that updated as well.
Good. Thank you, Kelly. And Joel, why don't you take us home with the litany of celebrations that are happening?
Yeah, you bet. So we are going to be also kind of ending up our trail maintenance season on the 24th. We are going to be doing some trail work out at Goat Mountain, which is a pretty steep area out in the Scotsman's. Honestly, we had to do a little bit of a pivot because there was a bit of fire in our original spot. So we're going to move from Star Peak and we're going to go and do some work on Goat Mountain. And so it'll be a, get together pretty early in the morning, and there's a lot of down logs, down trees on that trail from a windstorm that came through the area. So we've been out there actually this weekend we were out there twice, and there's plenty of work still to do. So we're going to take one more whack at Goat Mountain for this year and see how much of the area we can get cleaned up for people to still enjoy it for this fall. And we're looking definitely to have a good turnout for that activity. And as a kind of a thank you for the volunteers that come out, we are going to have a barbecue right afterwards. So, come for the work, stay for the fun. That we're definitely looking forward to that as well. Like a little instant gratification for coming out and getting sweaty and getting hot and giving back. It's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this morning, and we were talking about, this upcoming event and the number of people that, that go hiking and use the trails and then the percentage of people that actually are willing to put in the time. And kind of the conversation we had was like, there's not a fairy that comes out and says like, wow, it'd be cool to have a trail to the top of this mountain. Like, it takes work, it takes organization, it takes volunteers to get out there and put in kind of, some physical labor to make these places accessible. So we definitely are, super grateful to the volunteers that we have, and would also just like to extend an invitation. Like, if you're consider yourself a hiker and you've never been out on a trail day, it's super gratifying to like get out there and either, clear down logs or, just make the trail more visible so that, people as they're hiking up feel safer. But at the end of the day, kind of having that like, wow, like we did this, we kind of have that like at the beginning of the day, this was pretty sloppy, or, and that, you know, like you put in your hours and now look what we've done, and only for you to enjoy, but for, you know, the other people that are going to be in that area to enjoy that area. And so, you know, we definitely would encourage kind of saying, like, there's no experience necessary. If you are able to hike, if you're physically fit, you know, come out, you know, we'll show you how to use the tools, be safe, you know, tell you what to bring, lots of water, some food. And we have fun, you know, it is, it's a great combination of camaraderie and community while you're out there, you know, putting in some work. So we definitely encourage, you know, if you've never been out on a work party like this, you know, come on, give it a try. You might get hooked. I mean, it's super fun. If you want to find out more about this activity, you can go to our website, which is scottsandpeaks.org, and go to our Get Involved page, and you can click on that, and you can sign up there. We'll get you all the information, where to meet, what time, what to bring, and we're also active on Facebook and Instagram as well.
And I heard there may be some work on lower parts of the trail for those who may not have the legs to hike up to the place where the logs are down up high.
Yeah, yeah.
But there'll be an easy to moderate option for the day. And I'd be remiss not to note, listeners can't see the Zoom call, but Kelly was smiling when you were talking about refreshments. I think she was thinking libations. Of course, makes the day everywhere for many of these organizations. Individuals who come out and volunteer generally are working hard, and they're playing hard too, and they deserve that after a hard day of work. And I would just close out by saying it really behooves all trail users to give back a little bit, even if it's just this one day a year, and hopefully it's more, to those trails that make so much of our lives very worthwhile, especially in an area like the Bonner County area, where we're just blessed with this abundance of trails. It does take a lot of effort to keep them cleared and maintained and accessible to the public. And so I'd encourage all listeners, if they're not already active with one or more of these organizations, to follow the lead and go to the Facebook page or website, or contact individuals who have presented here today. And just any quick closing thoughts before we close out here? I'll just look around the room here. If anyone's got a hold your hand up, if you've got a last minute idea. It looks like Jason might. Nope. Okay.
Phil, I have a quick question for the groups who are leading things on Trail Day. And who knows, hopefully, when that comes, we won't have smoke to deal with. But is there a level at which the event would be canceled because of smoke?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I would let each of them individually feel that, but I have some thoughts on it myself, if no one else does. So Jason, Kelly, Joel, if you want to chime in.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, anytime you're working with the public, and especially volunteers, you know, you have to take people's safety into account, you know, so that, I mean, I've definitely been obsessively looking at my phone and the air quality myself. You know, it does look that we have some improvement, we have some rain in the forecast. So, you know, we're definitely crossing our fingers that, you know, kind of Mother Nature comes in, gives us some rain that we desperately need, and that it's not going to be an issue. But if it does come up, then for sure, you know, we'll post, we'll get a hold of the volunteers. You know, typically for us, if you're looking at kind of an air quality scale, if it's, you know, kind of in that 250 mark or above, then we're gonna cancel at that point. So if that's kind of a barometer that we kind of shoot for.
Yeah, so from Ponderay Peddler's perspective, we kind of need rain at this time of year to do any trail work. So when the rain comes, the air quality tends to improve, and we're able to go out and do the work we need to do. Our professional trail builder, who we've had employed, calls it stacking dust this time of year when there's no moisture in the soil. We cut tread with a machine, and then we go through with rakes and shovels and McLeod tools, and we stack dust, and then that dust sits there until it gets rain, and then you can't really do anything with it until it gets rain. The rain is the cement that holds the trail together. So we're hopeful that by this weekend we've got rain. In addition to opening our new trail, we're actually hosting a trail work party in the afternoon. It's not on public lands. It'll be at Hickey Farms, which is over in the Selly Valley. We have a really good relationship with the Hickey family, and we on our for our second year now are hosting a cyclocross race series there at in late October. So September 24th, Public Lands Day, in addition to what we hope to be a grand opening of our trail in the city's watershed in the morning. In the afternoon, we're going to be doing a trail work party where we go out and we bring our cyclocross race course back to life out on the 360-acre property in Selly Valley, just 15 minutes from Sandpoint. So again, if you're a listener and you're interested in doing some trail work this weekend, we invite you to join us. It's probably going to be at 1 p.m., but again, that will be communicated via our social media. So we're hoping for rain. Rain will allow us to open our new trail, and it'll make the whole trail work experience just a whole lot better because you can actually finish a trail when there's rain. When there's no rain, it's all just about stacking that dust.
Kelly, any thoughts on safety for projects or things that would trigger a change?
Yeah, safety is really one of our number one priorities, and we work very hard with all of our crew leaders to really try to keep everybody safe. And with the smoke, that's also a huge concern of ours as well. So yeah, if it's looking smoky, we'll definitely postpone or, you know, decide to pick up a project next year. If it, you know, everybody who's coming out is a volunteer and we don't need to put anybody at risk for, this time of year for sure. So.
Thank you, Katie, for reminding us to talk a bit about safety. And I think everyone, paramount concern for everyone is we've seen recently with some of the activities in Pine Street Woods regarding our local large cats.
Yes. Yeah, that was an exciting summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a tale for everybody to tell.
Hey, Phil, if you don't mind, I'd like to share something else that we've been working on with Kinixu Land Trust and some other partners recently. Sure. And that is an emergency response plan for the Pine Street Woods property, the entire Syringa Trail system, which is over 400 acres of private lands with about 16 miles of trails on them just outside of Sandpoint. In addition to the city property in the watershed, Pondre Peddlers has been working for months now on an emergency response program with Bonner County EMS, Bonner County 911, Selkirk Fire, the Bonner County Sheriff's Department, and that will be rolled out this fall, actually. So in the next month, users of our local trails are going to start to notice little red markers on the sides of trails about every quarter mile or half mile and at every trail junction within our local trail networks, specifically in Syringa and in the lower basin of the Little Sand Creek watershed. This is a system that has been rolled out in other trail communities around the country. You may have noticed or subconsciously, perhaps, emergency trail markers in places like Whitefish. The trail networks all around Western Washington have similar systems as well. And the idea is that if a user becomes injured or lost in a trail network, they can call 911 and they will have within minutes passed an emergency locator sign, which they can communicate that location. It's basically a number to 911, and that will be then communicated via the back end of the first responder computer system to first responders so that they know exactly where you are and the best way to access you on the trail. Accidents. We've had people have heart attacks on trails in our local front country trails. We've had several broken bones and back and neck injuries from mountain bike crashes. So giving the community this means of communicating their location to first responders is something really been focusing on this year. And those signs have been ordered, they've been paid for, and they will be installed sometime in October. So users of trails this fall and certainly next year are going to start to notice this emergency signage all over our local trail networks.
That's a good reminder for safety, which is always a good note to end on. And we'll take it out there. And of course, the presence of megafauna just reminds us that these are still wild lands, which is part of the attraction. And everything we can do to be safe is good. And that starts with education and goes right on through good programmatic activities and response programs, such as Jason's been talking about. So we're going to draw this interview to a close. And I want to thank our guests for joining us today. If you've just tuned in, as always, you can listen to this as a podcast later on. Or if you just want to re-listen to the options available to you, you can go to krfy.org and download the podcast version of today's interview. With us this morning have been Kelly Hughes, Communications Director of the Idaho Trails Association, Jason Welker, Executive Director of the Pondre Peddlers, Joel Thompson, Program Manager, Friends of Scotch and Peaks Wilderness, and Katie Eglin-Cox, the Executive Director of the Kinixu Land Trust. And I want to thank you all for joining us today.